Sorry,
boy. Oh fuck, I hit two buttons at once. Well, despite having accidentally screwed up and hitting two buttons at once on the soundboard to open the show, I felt like it enhanced the opening. This is Pure Decking, show number 352 for Thursday, June 6th, the current year. I'm Morps. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and the fact that I haven't gotten a single scam call on my phone in multiple days. I've gotten like four marketing calls at work, but like, you know, cold call bullshit. But like, I haven't been getting the scam calls lately. It's wonderful, but that? I'm kind of afraid.
Why is that?
I might not be a person anymore.
Brings the fear.
So, anyways, I am working on. That's only about a shot left. That's a problem. Oh well, Eagle Rare, Madman. What are you using to fuel your madness tonight?
I am drinking Red's Apple Ale.
Hmm. Okay. And are you? What's driving you tonight?
Just pure hate and vitriol.
Oh, well, you'd be great on YouTube then.
Oh, so you're a redheaded feminist.
Beat you like a redheaded stepchild.
Yep, there's
the
man hate coming through.
Feminist. I get right. Way too much mileage out of that.
Do we just do the elephant in the room real quick and get it over with?
Do it.
Moment. YouTube, we don't care. Yeah, we've done it.
Thank you. So, moving on. So, Aryu, you pointed this story out to me earlier in the week. But also, Unusual Act sent me the article on my Reddit account, and I thought it would be a good one to talk about. This is from ZDNet. The United States to demand 5 years' worth of your social media email account info in visa applications. The data demand will apply to tourists and potential immigrants. The U.S. State Department will now require new visitors to the United States to hand over their social media account names, as well as email addresses and phone numbers used over the past 5 years. Revised application forms for those seeking potential residency, education, work, or a tourist visa will have to supply the data, which is expected to impact roughly 15 million visa applicants who visit the country each year. As noted by the Associated Press, the bulk data collection was first proposed in March of 2018. The department says the demand will strengthen our process for vetting these applicants and confirming their identity. Yeah, because the resume Facebook account they put on there is really going to confirm their identity.
Well, that's what a passport was for.
Yeah.
I thought it was what electronic verification was for. That's why you took my biometrics the first time I entered. And shared it with my government. Thanks for that one, by the way.
This
Save
visa,
time at the DMV.
This passport application brought to you by Facebook. It's just like, fuck off.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy, man.
It's like that photo I used to have of, like, you know, the Facebook gulags that somebody had painted up. It was this awesome wallpaper for a while. And it's just like, I think that's where it's really going. What the fuck?
Like, I can't see why they need it. Like,
see, if you're an extremist, I guess.
An extremist what? You know what I mean?
Well, given the current president, I'd say Islamist, but I don't know that.
Well, okay, that's to the president, but it seems a lot of your institution has been corrupted by the other side.
The FBI.
I think they're just looking. I think they're just seeing what they can do.
Do you think it's that? See how far they can push?
Yeah.
Before people push back?
Or just, you know, see if it gets them anything. I mean, what are they going to do with, you know, a bullshit Twitter handle? You know, seriously, what are they going to do with these email addresses? They're going to compare them to a list, and if you're not on the list, they're not going to say anything about it, because it's not like they're really going to... Are they really going to pay some interns to pull up people's Facebooks and troll through these things to see if they've ever said, you know, Orange Man bad or something?
The problem is that I'm going to trigger a lot of people with my email address, you know? niggerhunter@gmail.com is not going to go down well.
I'm
not tempted
to register that now just for fun.
It's
but...
too late. I already own that one. And what happens if you don't have any social media?
They're going to say that
on the form, I don't have it.
Yeah, but I'm hoping that's what I'm going to put down. Like, I'm going to have to explain, are you 486? And thank you, Morse, for helping me out with that one. The 486 computer. Are you the Commodore guy?
Yeah. Just argue that, you know, you've been using the handle for years. And, you know, you're still pissed that you never got royalties for the fucking pill.
Dude, I've been using RU46 since 2008.
Well, you're going to need to argue the 90s if you want to claim you're named after a 486, unless you were doing it ironically.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say that because, you know, the abortion debate's fucking triggering over there as well. So I'm looking forward to the TSA handy fucking pat down, and please go stand in that room for 2 hours.
Get
as
ready
you'll
for
explain
your freedom,
why
Fondle.
You do not have the Facebook. Why do you not have the Facebook and the blue checkmark Twitter?
So we're looking at your social credit score here.
And that's and it appears you don't exist.
So we see here that you haven't been maintaining, you know, the prerequisite $100,000 of credit card debt. What are you, a terrorist? I mean, this is going to spiral out of control.
It already has, though. You know, I got pulled out for the, why don't you own a credit card? Why don't you have a mobile phone? And now, why don't you have a Facebook? Why don't you have a Twitter?
Well, this is when you play the paranoid schizophrenic and say, I'm hiding from the Mexican government.
The problem is
they won't know how to react.
The humor anymore, man.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's the last thing you want to be doing is making jokes with TSA stuff. They're not the most humorless people in the world. You know?
It's the pants they make them wear. They're like two sizes too small. You ever notice that when you go through the airport?
You ever notice that the TSA consists of 300-pound black women?
I said, they make them wear pants that are too tight.
It's either really, really obese white guys that have a fucking, like, retarded speech, or a 300-pound black woman.
So what I'm hearing is I need to apply for this.
You're not fat enough yet, Madman. And the problem is you actually
have... To be fair, you haven't seen him in a few years.
He can't have gotten that big. He wasn't that big when I last met him.
Teasing.
Yeah, they're not exactly playing with a full deck, if you know what I mean, the TSA.
Well, I'm just thinking...
There may be some good ones.
If all of the TSA, even if they're taking their diabetic medication, you know, if you can just run moderately fast, it sounds like you can just get away from them.
Problem is the dude at the door with the gun.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I thought about making a run for it. I think I could outrun the tasers. It's the dude with the gun at the door.
Moving targets are hard. You know, you just have to do the solitaire thing and roll around on the ground. Then when they finally capture you, you can just claim an insanity.
No, my luck would hurt when I should have done.
I was triggered.
So what's when you get caught by the cops? I can't breathe. I didn't do it. I didn't do nothing. I can't breathe.
Just stand there yelling at the top of your lungs, I'm defending myself while doing nothing.
I was afraid. That's why I ran. Yeah, good defense. But
sovereign
I'm just wondering,
citizen?
No, just claim black people scare you and, you know.
Is this going to cause more of a delay at the airport now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, you're going to shut down a wing.
No, I mean, are they going to check your shit in real time?
God,
or is
I
it going to be
not.
In the application screening?
It'll
and
be,
then
it'll
are
be in
they,
the application screening, but I mean, well, I imagine they've just got to be comparing it to a list to do anything with it.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Are they individually screening you? Is this eyes on, or is it an algorithm?
I'm thinking it's got to be an algorithm, because if they're getting $15 million a year, there's no way they've got somebody manually doing that. I mean, it's the government. They might really be hiring that many people to sit there and click through Facebook, but fuck.
No, they're going to have some keywords linked to Islamic extremism. You're going to be having a bot look for those on your Facebook. If the bot triggers, then they're going to have a person review it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just thinking, how long ago did I stop using that Middle Eastern messaging company?
And I'm not sure how long that would take.
It depends on the internet speed, wouldn't it?
And I don't think it's going to be real time while you're at the airport. What they're going to do is take that information, feed it in, let you go, and then if something comes back, they'll be like, oh, we're putting out a warrant for RU486. Here's where he told us he was going. We have no idea if he was fucking telling us the truth. But all ports bulletin on possible terrorist.
Well, but I'm just like, will it be the lack of social media? Is that going to trigger it?
Well, they're going to think that you have it and you're just not wanting to tell them what it is.
Well, that's what I mean. Am I going to get fucking detained and have the old, you're not telling us the truth fucking line again?
Oh, I'm thinking what I was talking about was once they have that information, if they find anything on your social media.
Let's read through the rest of the story here. It's not that long.
All right.
Unless you are exempt due to diplomatic or official reasons, you will need to supply 5 years worth of social media and email account history, as well as past international travel information. The forms will list the most popular social networking platforms, likely including Facebook and Twitter, among others, and will also invite applicants to list any other platforms and accounts not included in the paper. So what we're going to do, we're going to set up a whole bunch of tiny little, never heard of them, quote unquote, social networks, which will actually just be themed PHP BB installs. And then, like, you make all the history you want and provide them these URLs.
I don't know, man. I just, it is not going to enrich the traveling experience, if you know what I mean.
No, it is not. In addition, the new visa requirements will not only ask you if you have been personally involved in terrorism-related activities, but your family, too.
Oh, who fucking ticks yes to that?
An idiot. Or somebody who's really desperate trying to get away from their dad.
Are you going to use this firearm to commit a crime on a fucking form, dude?
Well,
there are stupid people.
My favorite is when you're buying a gun and it's like, are you currently a fugitive from justice? Well, yes, I am. I mean, come on. Oh, well, I wouldn't want to lie to the store clerk.
Well, because you're signing that, that's a statutory declaration.
That's exactly what it is.
It's actually another crime in itself.
That's exactly what it is. You're right. It's totally a trap. But at the same time, it's just kind of like you look at that. Are you currently in a fugitive from justice? Have you ever beaten your wife? Are you currently an illegal immigrant? You're just looking at all these stupid questions on there, and it's just like, what the fuck? Yeah, just go on 4chan, make one post in one of the more underpopulated areas so you can get your number. I forget what that posting number is called.
Your ID.
Just give them that from one post. What'd you post? A picture of Pepe. Oh, beat his ass. You know?
Go over to Papercraft and do some racist posting there.
Leave those guys alone.
Actually, I think they've got the right idea in the chat room that they're just going to start getting dead people's social media accounts.
There you go.
I like Psychos. Here's my diaspora page. Here's my Usenet handle. Here's my BBS name. Yes.
That's pretty much what I'm like. Yeah. All of them, so this is how I think it's going to play out. You know, Mr. RE486, yes, your visa and everything is in order, but we need to have a special chat. You know the way. Yes, room number 3. Thank you.
Really, guys? It's like every time now. Well, you know, the guys find you funny, so it's sort of our treat.
It's the same as us when we're traveling domestically. It's like, yes, Ahmed's fine. So-and-so's fine, Kelly's fine, BSV, you. And all you guys standing in a row just suddenly all picked out with special treatment. Like, fuck off. It's not by design.
So let's see.
Yeah.
Ooh, I've never actually had a traditional social media account.
No, no, you told me that you had some family set up a Facebook account for you.
Oh, I'd have to try to track down the login username and password for that.
So, sir, we see your avatar here is a penguin. Yes, very into Linux. Yes.
I thought it was a very well-dressed bird. It's one of the few animals I can't bring myself to shoot. It's got a tuxedo on.
Yeah, they're easy to club, though.
Let's see. We are constantly working to find mechanisms to improve our screening process to protect United States citizens while supporting legitimate travel to the United States, the department told the AP. The profiling of applicants to ascertain any risk factors associated with an individual is understandable, but this information needs to be protected, stored properly, and should be deleted if not required. U.S. Customs has previously shown itself as incompetent in this regard. A report published in December revealed for the past 2 years, border agents have not been deleting visitor data obtained from electronic device searches. Well, no, they want to keep the selfies and the dick pics for later.
Well, they already made the conscious decision not to bring electronic devices next year. That simple fact.
I think you need to. What you need to do is you need to make a.
I'm not doing it. Well, you're making a fucking bullshit account.
When I used to work at a fast food restaurant, we had a manager. And granted, this is 15 years ago, but he always made the dirt spot. And what that was he had a spot in the back near the mop area where he would always make sure to spill some dirt. He was intentionally doing it. And it was so when the health inspector came in, they could put something on the report that they found something. They'd call it done and leave him alone.
Yeah, they don't actually look after that.
Right.
So you think I should join a jihadi faction just in name alone, just so they can find that and that'll be good?
Nah, I was going to say go set up a like a Gab account or Mines or something just so you can put a name down. And, you know, here's Gab, what I use.
Gab is banned by the government here, and Mines is censored as well.
Why?
Something Twitter? About New Zealand kebab remover. Something like that.
I make a bullshit Twitter account with one post on it.
Like, dude, I can't even get into BitChute.
Go find some unsuspecting Christian forum that you can send government agents to. I don't know. So.
Ah, fuck it, man. Well, if anything, it'll give me content for the radio shows. You know?
Yep, we're here outside the local detention center where we can hear RU currently screaming.
Not my booty hole. Not my booty hole.
Weird stuff. Butt stuff.
Do it to Crowder, not me.
Yeah, you and Crowder right there getting the butt stuff done to you by the government agents.
Hey. I'm comfortable enough. I know Crowder's bi-curious. I'm fine, thanks.
Oh, fuck.
We pile on Crowder because why not? Everybody else is. We don't want to be left out.
But, you know, he's the new Alex Jones, so they're going to bitch and moan till they get him off the platforms, so... Anyways,
just at the end of that story, I just can't see the experience being fun. It'll be interesting. Look forward to the questions I'm going to get asked and the on-the-spot answers I'm going to have to give.
Why don't you have a social media account? I don't know how to type.
Watch me play the dyslexia card, dude.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
I have a life. That's why I don't have a social media account.
Just tell them you deleted all of them 10 years ago after you saw the hatred and bigotry. They'll believe you.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
It's like, I saw the hatred and bigotry, so I just deleted them all. Well, when did you do that? 6 years ago, right before your down timeline.
And that is a card I could play.
Or, you know, homeless hippie.
In California, get away with that.
Yeah, yeah. Say, like, oh, no, I don't have a phone or a computer. I can't afford them.
And purpose for entering the country today, sir? Your liberal social programs and the weed. Thank you.
Where are you? He's still in the detention center screaming.
I want my phone call. Where's, Jesus Christ, this guy just set fire to his house. I'm watching a live siege situation happen. The guy has just set fire to his house.
Oh, no, Cycros is right. Most of homeless hippies do use a ton of Instagram. Set up an Instagram account. Post a picture of, like, a cat. Doesn't have to be yours. Just go find it on, like, Google Photo Search. Don't even bother photoshopping out the watermark. And you're done.
Oh, that's good, man. I no longer have to put unemployed on my visa now. I can see Instagram fucking model or something like that.
What do they call them?
Social media
influencer. Instagram influencer.
I'm influenza, sir.
You can be one of those guys that goes up to the hotels and, like, if you let me stay here for free, I'll give you a review on Yelp.
Is Yelp still a thing?
I don't know.
Yep. I don't know how many people check it, but it still exists. I see it whenever I pull up restaurants.
Now I'm trying to think of ways to use Instagram to run illegal lotteries. Anyways, moving on.
We'll talk after the show.
Got it. Anyways, next article. This one is from Vice. And I like the article. Not too happy with Vice at the moment. So I was trying to really keep the sources out from some of these today, but this one was about the only place I really saw the article that I liked. So, better broadband lowers unemployment rates, study says. Fed up by a lack of fast, affordable broadband, hundreds of U.S. towns and cities have turned to building their own broadband networks. Studies routinely show that these networks not only offer faster, cheaper service, locally accountable networks are less likely to engage in the kind of privacy and net neutrality violations common among ISPs like Comcast and AT&T. Boosting access to quality broadband drives major benefits to these regions. Chattanooga's locally owned ISP EPB, for example, directly contributed to that city's renaissance as a regional business hub, with one 2015 study estimating a net gain of between 2,800 and 5,200 new jobs and $1 billion in regional economic benefit. Researchers from the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga and Oklahoma State University this week released a study, again tying better broadband to lower unemployment. The study tracked broadband availability and unemployment rates across 95 counties in Tennessee from 2011 to 2016 and found that counties with access to high-speed broadband had a 0.26 percentage lower rate of unemployment compared to low-speed counties. Early adoption of faster speeds also aided unemployment rates, researchers found. The unemployment differential is greater for countries that adopted counties that adopted high speed earlier, researchers said. For instance, counties that adopted high speed in 2011 had the largest differential in unemployment rates in 2016, 1.57% relative to counties with low speed broadband. The researchers concluded that better quality broadband appears to have a proportionally greater effect in rural areas that have been historically neglected by private ISPs, many of which received countless billions in taxpayer subsidies over the last decade. Disinterested with the slow return on investment, many private ISPs have let their networks literally fall apart. Chattanooga's city-owned ISP was a direct response to state and federal failures to drive more competition to the market. The city's network has proven to be a resounding success and now offers local gigabit speeds for $68 a month or 10 gigabits for $2.99. 10 gigabit internet. Fuck, I'm running a data farm out of my living room. Why not? You make $2.99 back real quick doing that. Consumer Reports last year declared EPB to be the best ISP in America, in both in terms of price and speed. The article goes on, but I tend to agree with them just on the basic premise that, now granted, my job is in tech. I couldn't do my job if I didn't have internet at home. Like, I would not have my job if I couldn't afford internet at home. because I've had to use it way too many times.
Well, it's high speed in and out to county areas and stuff like that allows work to be done from those counties, and you don't have to move into the inner small cities.
Well, it's
a lot like stay out there and do the work. Companies could invest in people out there.
Yeah, you can have remote workers, but I'm also thinking in terms of just think how hard it is, or think how hard it would be to get a job, you know, even 15 or 20 years ago without a phone number.
Yeah.
If you didn't have phone service, think how hard it would be to get a job. Internet's moving, your internet access is the same thing. It's just different technology, right? So, because the majority of, I'm trying to think, I guess middle and upper class communication is happening over internet connections. If you don't have access to that, you're out of that circle, because even employment is still technically a social circle, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm following you.
So if you can't participate because you don't have high-speed internet, I mean, you're stuck. How do you?
Yeah.
I mean, I literally get text messages. I get chat messages from people at work, and if I'm not responding to those things quickly, it's a problem. You know,
I was thinking a lot of interviews now are done over Skype, aren't they? Instead of actually going in.
If it's any type of driving distance, yes.
Yeah. So I can see that.
If you're not interviewing within the town you live in, they do a lot of Skype or phone interviews.
Yeah, and without high-speed internet, it's pretty hard to do.
But I'm wondering if this is the chicken or the egg thing. And what I mean is, are the counties with high-speed internet doing well because there was business there that required it? Or is moving high-speed internet there actually causing businesses to open up in those counties?
I'd imagine both.
Yeah, I could see, like, if you have a small business and then acquiring high-speed internet, knowing how to use it to integrate it within that business, you're going to see productivity increase.
Well, at the same time, not just attracting business there, but having local people start up businesses, right? You know, how many people in the last 10 years have started up their own little app companies and, you know, maybe even hired one or two people to write mobile apps because they can get online, get the training to do it, and release these things. And you can't hardly do that without an internet connection these days. I'm just picking that, but I mean, there's lots of little things like that, you know?
Yeah.
So not to mention how many businesses sprung up to go out and run wire for people or to set up machines for people. I mean, and they weren't all going to fucking Geek Squad.
Oh, the running wire, they're using the same businesses that ran cable wire and phone wire.
Oh, I know.
I wonder, are they using the employment of the cable going in as part of the metrics for business increasing?
Probably.
But
I mean, they're just taking government unemployment numbers, right?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because I know any resource in an area you can use to market that area. But if the high-speed internet, there would have to be a business there demanding it for that business to expand. Now, I know people could just be self-employed YouTubers, but I don't know exactly how lucrative that is.
Of YouTube itself anymore, not very much, but when you start factoring in people who do their own sponsorships and Patreon and other online-based businesses, you do get into some pretty significant employment. I mean, you've got millions of people trying to make it on YouTube, right? Then very few of them do. But then you have, you know, you also have people doing it, you know, doing things like getting on, you know, like we were joking about the Instagram thing. There are people who actually make a legitimate living off being a billboard on Instagram for companies, right? We hate those people usually.
It's up there with sex workers, Dave.
Yeah, I know. Well, cam girls, fuck. You couldn't do a cam girl if you don't have the right bandwidth, right?
I have more respect for sex workers than I do for Instagram models. At least a sex worker is providing something.
But I mean, how many little independent contractors are out there not even websites, like, you know, WordPress sites for people or other CMS marketing companies. And you know, there's all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah, your little old lady hoarding Beanie Babies and shit like that, selling them on eBay.
Yeah, why not? Well, I mean, eBay businesses, sure. I mean, Etsy and... No, I mean, how many people are just, you know, spin up a website, see if they make $15 a month selling an add-on for something, right? I mean...
Yeah, $15, man.
I recently learned of a small business in town selling custom furniture. They don't have a showroom. It's just two people making furniture. The only way you know about them is on Facebook.
Yeah.
So...
But if you want a hardwood table for cheap, it's only $400.
That's not bad.
Oh, it's 8 chairs and a table with the expandable slat, all hardwood, not pressed wood.
Oh, and that's not bad at all.
Yeah. My sister bought a dining room set from them. So I found out about them. I'm like, oh, okay. And I thought it was a furniture store, but no, it's a couple with a woodworking setup in their garage that make tables and chairs.
So, but I mean, there's probably all kinds of little stuff like that that you see when this kind of stuff crops up, because you do get these, you know, what's the term for them? Side hustles. I mean, you know, people do on top of their regular work as well as just, you know, if somebody can take a hobby and turn it into, you know, their day job through internet, whether they're, you know, doing a YouTube channel or one of the other platforms or their own thing, I mean, why not? So, anyways, let's move on to this next thing here. This is from Torrent Freak. Pirate Cam King, X1 BET, becomes Russia's third largest online advertiser. Now, I fully admit I must be out of the piracy game because I'd never heard of these guys. Let's see.
I'm going to say, I know that name, and I don't know why I know that name.
I'll explain.
Now I know why I know that name.
I will explain. X1BET, a gambling company known for its advertising appearing in cam copies of movies, has become third most active online advertiser in Russia. Only Google and PepsiCo. Google and fucking Pepsi. Ads are more prevalent, with movie giant Universal Pictures in a relatively humble seventh place. I love this guy's strategy, right? Get their ads into the pirated movies. That's awesome.
Yeah. And they're twice as fucking loud as the movie. And so it scares the ever-living fuck out of you when it comes on.
Brazen as hell, too. Since 2018, it's likely that internet users searching for the latest pirate cam copies of Hollywood movies have been exposed to the brand X1BET. X1BET is an online gambling company based in Russia that currently has more than 140 of its URLs blocked by the Russian government after being declared illegal. I love these guys. Currently, it's still managing to attract eyeballs all around the world via online advertising, including ads placed in pirated copies of movies. In a Torrent Freak report published last month, they covered some of the activities being associated with the company, along with thoughts from local anti-piracy sources. Interestingly, X1BET is now making headlines in Russia for being one of the most prolific online advertisers in the entire region. The information comes from a new study published by research company Mediascope, ranking the companies that placed the greatest volume of advertising online in Russia during the first quarter of 2019. At the top of the pile with 3.3% of the market share is Google, which doesn't come as a huge surprise. The search giant is followed by PepsiCo in second position with 3.1%. And remarkable third place sits X1BET with 2.4% of the market. Food giant Danone claims 2.3%. Universal Pictures Russia has 1.9%. What makes the achievement even more bewildering is that for the last year, another sponsor of piracy releases was also making headlines for similar reasons. Azino 777, another gambling company closely connected to pirate releases, previously took the top spot in Russia with 6.7% of the market. This year, the company was ranked 60th. It's believed that the anti-piracy memorandum signed last year is at least partly responsible for the decline, since participants were able to delete pirate sites from search results. MediaScope published by local news, or MediaScope data published by local news outlet RBC showed that during the first quarter of 2018, researchers found Alonzo 777 adverts on 670 sites, but during the same period in 2019, it had fallen to just 143. Additionally, the volume of ad impressions, okay, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, these guys are putting ads in fucking pirated movies.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a few now. I was like, where do I know that name? And then when you said they put it on pirate, I'm like, that's why I know that. It generally appears three times, once when you play it at the beginning, then in the middle of the movie, and then at the end. So, but all the time, they have a Chiron going across the bottom with their advertising there.
Jeez, that'd be obnoxious.
Yeah, it can be, but that's the price of piracy, dude. It's the price of doing business.
I would think somebody would take the time to edit that shit out and re-upload it just to say fuck them, because it's piracy. But I mean,
I don't, man, it's a cam movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're only watching it for two reasons. One, there's nothing else to do at the time. Or two, you're just super desperate to see that film and are too tight to go to the fucking cinema. Like.
I don't know. I mean, the fact that you're even getting ads in the fucking pirated content nowadays is just, yeah. I mean, it's gotta be in the video, right? It's not like you're going to a web page and it's just popping it over, because otherwise, you know, you just ad block it. But I mean, I'm thinking it's like embedded in the,
The first time I saw one caught me out off guard entirely. I had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Yeah. I thought Adblock was broken. I went and updated it. First time that happened to me.
Quality.
Psychros has given is noticed that there's a real player stream for the stream. they're like, hey, real player, at least you kept it a little bit retro. Then he realized, oh god, it works. Yeah, Psychros, it turns out that when I switched streaming providers like 5 years ago, the new streaming provider actually provided a web player, which is what I switched it to, right? But I never actually updated. I just changed the player with the new addresses. I never actually switched over to the provided web player from the company. And I did that, one, because I really liked the look of our old player. But, two, I didn't think it mattered that much until the old one started to break because it still used Flash. And, you know, I'm sitting there trying to figure out what I need to do about that. And then I realized that the streaming provider actually provides a web player. I'm like, oh, well, let me look at it. Fuck, it's JavaScript. All right, well, hell, I'll just use that. And after we dicked around with it for a bit so it didn't look like complete ass, that's what we ended up with. So, but yeah, they provide all those streams, and we just haven't really been using them. So, you know, if you have a real player and you really want to listen to Galaxy 15, you know, what would it be, like 16 kilobit or whatever the hell real player uses?
I want to find Winamp and see if I can play it through Winamp.
You can play it through Winamp. They actually just did a release of Winamp we talked about it on Deckhand. It was like a year ago where they went ahead and released a version of it that worked on Windows 10. You can get the playlist file off Winamp and it'll totally work. Well, you want Winamp? We'll get Winamp. Hang on a second.
I'm just wondering if I can still track down any of the old TV, streaming stations I used to watch on Winamp.
I doubt that one. Yeah, here you go. Go Winamp.com. A leaked version of Winamp 5.8 recently spread over the internet. So here you go. We're giving you the official download. They're doing that because the leaked version, people would start putting viruses and shit in. So yeah, you can just download Winamp 5 if you want it.
Nice.
Open up the stream. It'll work.
Now see if I can find 24 hours of Farscape.
Okay, maybe not that. Although, I saw they put Farscape up on Prime, so I might rewatch that.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, Rant TV's long dead. They shut down... I think he shut down all their streams, didn't he? I think they're just a forum now. So, anyways, moving on. This one is from... Oh, Aryu's not back. We'll wait on Aryu to get back. Because this is one he will enjoy. How do I stretch here? You want Cody for the 27th stream? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the way we stretch, do you think Shoutcast TV will come back if YouTube keeps kicking off content providers?
No, because I think you're going to see... I really feel like most people want to go with... they want a web page to go to. They want a site with an index. They don't want a program that they have to run in a separate protocol, right? So, you know, that was one of the early complaints when we first were setting up G15. I wasn't going to put a web player up. I was just going to, like, here's the stream, get you, you know, get VLC, get Winamp, and just listen to it, right? And, people are talking, Cycross was mentioning PeerTube, but I don't think a lot of people are running that. I think they want to be able to just go to a web page and have it work, like on a fucking Chromebook or something, right? But anything with a web client could potentially work, but they still will. They're going to want to just search right on the site and just on demand watch a video. They're not going to want to deal with something like Shoutcast, which Shoutcast and even Icecast was modeled off traditional media, radio and TV, right? So, you know, yeah, you can listen to Decking Live because it's when we're doing it live, but that's not what most people want. What most people want is to download the MP3, put it on a phone or player or whatever, and listen to it whenever it's convenient for them, not just because it's on and that's what you get to listen to. So, I don't know. PeerTube is an interesting one, but I don't see a lot of people going for that live stream like that anymore. I mean, yeah, Twitch, but even then, they're not installing something to do it, right? They're just going to a page. And even then, what do most people do? They watch Twitch stuff after the fact, after somebody's cut it up, put sound effects on it, and like all the funny bits.
I can't see watching someone else play a video game.
You played
every once in a while. If I'm stuck, I will look up a walkthrough on a section. But short of that, no, I don't see watching people play video games.
You played football in high school. You never watched people play football on TV?
No, actually, not that into many sports. The only ones I watch are combat sports. I like watching two people beat the ever-loving shit out of each other. Now I won't like turn off a football game. I'll go to a bar, and if there's one on the TV, I'll watch it. But as far as at home, no, I don't watch sports. And any teams I occasionally track are teams that I inherited. Like football, I'll watch the Washington Redskins or the Bengals. Those are my parents' teams. Cubs, my dad's team.
Rainer's saying you watch it for the guy streaming, which I think there's some truth to that, right? You know, you're watching it for the commentary and what the guy does, how he reacts, all that kind of stuff. Or if it's a hot chick bouncing around on screen.
Yeah, I love watching hot chicks bounce around on screen. That's why I go to Pornhub.
You'd love Twitch, man.
Yeah.
We were stretching till you got back, are you, so we could do this article for ED Week.
I'll explain what happened after the show.
It's fine. It's no worries. So, anyways... This one is from Education Week. Schools are deploying massive digital surveillance systems, and the results are alarming. Last December, early on a Sunday morning, Amanda Lafrenas tweeted about her cats. "I would die for you," the 31-year-old comic book artist from Clute, Texas, wrote. She's talking about her cats, and she's making a joke about how demanding they are and, you know, Anyways, to human eyes, the post seems innocuous. But in the age of heightened fear about mass school shootings, it tripped invisible alarms. The local Brazosport Independent School District had recently hired a company called Social Sentinel to monitor public posts from all users, including adults, on Facebook, Twitter, and other social media platforms. The company's algorithms flagged La Farina's tweet as a potential threat. Oh, because she put in die. Automated alerts were sent to the district superintendent, chief of police, director of student services, and director of guidance. All told, nearly 140 such alerts were delivered to Brazosport officials during the first 8 months of the school year, according to documents obtained by Education Week. Among other threats flagged by Social Sentinel, tweets about the movie Shooter, the shooting clinic put on by Stephen F. Austin State University women's basketball team, and someone apparently pleased their credit score was, quote, shooting up. Oh, what a shit. I mean, they put a shitty word filter up and then did alerts on it. Oh, God.
Your boss gets notified because of a crappy post about your cat.
A common Facebook quiz posted by the manager of a local vape shop, a tweet from the executive director of a libertarian think tank who wrote about a U.S. Democratic senator endorsing murder because of her support for abortion rights, a post by one of the Brazosport district's own elementary schools alerting parents that it would be conducting a lockdown drill that morning. Please note that this is only a drill, the school's post read. Thank you for understanding. We will post in the comment section when the drill is over. Such is the new reality for America's schools, which are hastily erecting a massive digital surveillance infrastructure, often with little regard for its effectiveness or impact on civil liberties. Social media monitoring companies track the posts of everyone in the area surrounding schools, including adults. Oh, damn it. I can see a school through my window. Well.
Better be shooting for the moon, there, Morps.
Wait, I've actually talked about
having... you blew it at one of your meetings.
Everybody was dying with laughter.
So did that go live bomb?
Wait, I can do this. I can do innuendo too. Blowjobs! No, wait, that's not... Borderlands 2. Anyways, social media monitoring companies track the posts of everyone in the area, blah, 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 blah. Those services are complemented with tip reporting apps, facial recognition software, and other new technology systems. Florida offers a glimpse of where it all may head. Lawmakers there are pushing for a state database that would combine individuals' educational, criminal justice, and social service records with their social media data and share it all with law enforcement. You are innocent until accused of a crime. Across the country, the results of such efforts are already far-reaching. New technologies have yielded just a few anecdotal reports of thwarted school violence, the details of which are often difficult to pin down, but they've also shown a huge new spotlight on the problems of suicide and self-harm among the nation's children. They've created a vast new legal and ethical gray area, which harried school administrators are mostly left to navigate on their own. So the article goes on about monitoring students' lives and how Big Brother is watching, and is this acceptable? It's a long article. But the short version of it is that schools are hiring companies to do social media monitoring, and they suck at it, so they're just creating a whole bunch of panic. And I mean, it's no wonder kids are all twitchy.
All right. Here's how Florida can help fix their school problems. Whenever one of your students threatens and beats up a teacher, let the cops know about it. That's how you could have caught the last shooter. Just let the cops know whenever one of your students is a violent prick actually breaking the law.
There you go. Wow, these guys are in bed with Google. I'm going through their companies.
Of course they are.
Social Sentinel. They read
the
Gmail.
They're probably having Google do their filtering for them.
Somebody said a wordy nerd. Quick, send in the SWAT. That one posted a picture of an anime. Quick, go shoot him. I mean, come on.
This is some crazy shit, man. I'd be in full revolt if I was a fucking student. This is ridiculous.
People are sheep.
Yeah.
Well, fuck. You remember when we were in school, or, well, right after we were in school, the thing they were getting ready to do just before we graduated was make everyone get clear backpacks.
Oh, remember when they pushed the dress code to prevent school violence?
Yeah, that'll prevent school violence.
How does that prevent school violence?
They're worried the bullies won't beat you up because they don't want to get blood on their nice shirt.
I don't know how it prevents school violence, but I know it caused domestic violence.
Imagine.
And the reason it caused that is when my dad read the newsletter, I'm like, that's not going to stop shit. And he asked, how do you know this? So I went to my room, put on what would have counted as school uniform, and then took an AK, it was an SKS. Clapped the stock, stuck it in my backpack along with three boxes of bullets, and then walked into the kitchen. It's like, guess what's in my backpack?
And then your father promptly beats you.
Yes.
Because he was a good man.
Like I said, it caused domestic violence. Like, I can still take this to school and shoot people. The only reason I don't is you taught me not to.
The only reason I don't is because I'm afraid you'll beat my ass if I do it. Now you're going to beat my ass for showing you. Hey, man.
Took
man.
The gun out, unfolded the stock, put it back where it belonged, in my closet. Wait. Yes, I had an assault rifle in high school.
Wait, madman.
I live in the sticks.
Madman. So the only reason you didn't shoot up a school is because of fear of your father. I'm pretty sure he's not around anymore. I mean, if you wanted to...
Don't point that out.
That and morality. He did teach me not to murder people.
Well, I'm just testing the social media monitoring of the school I can see out the window. So...
Oh.
Well, if anyone's interested, they got jobs going over there at Social Sentinel.
Oh, yeah? What are they offering?
Yeah, looking for a jobber software engineer.
Oh, God, it's written in Java. Have they listed any of the frameworks or versions they want?
Let me click on it real quick.
Come on, Java 6. Let's see if you're complaining and wanting to run on 10-year-old infrastructure. Come on.
Keep going, man. I'm going to take me a bit to get through this.
All right. Well, the next one's even funnier. This is from hothardware.com. It said that no good deed goes unpunished. But on the flip side, there are bad deeds that get rewarded. So it goes for the hackers responsible for Grand Crab, a popular form of ransomware that was sold to clients on the dark web, who are now retiring and going legitimate with their earnings. This podcast has been automatically... Thanks, DP View. Good to know that you're looking out for us. Good thing we're not on YouTube. They'd hear that joke and get really upset.
We're going to be demonetized. We're going to be demonetized, guys.
Madman, I got news for you. We're already demonetized. We've never made money. What are you talking about? This station costs me money. Like, a lot of money.
Damn it, I just remembered. We've been posted to YouTube. Somebody else is making ad revenue off of me. Damn it.
Not anymore.
And it's not my friend.
Are we considered a white supremacist or hate speech channel yet?
I don't know.
Hackers.
If that's the worst we're called.
Yeah.
I could give a fuck.
The hackers claim that Grand Crab netted the clients around $2 billion, all extracted from victims who opted to pay for a decryption key after falling prey to the ransomware. Whether the figure is accurate or not is up for debate. However, the hacking group also claims it has earned more than $150 million per year from Grand Crab and is now leaving for a well-deserved retirement. I love this post. We have proven that doing evil deeds, retribution does not come. We proved that in a year you can earn money for a lifetime. We have proved that it is possible to become number one, not in our words, but in the recognition of other people. That's not the right button. The hackers wrote in a forum post. The celebratory retirement post also puts out a request to stop any advertising campaigns for Dean Crab and for its affiliates to stop distributing the ransomware within 20 days. It also instructs current victims to buy a decryption key now, because once Dean Crab is pulled from commission, the keys go with it. According to Bleeping Computer, Dean Crab exploded in popularity in January of 2018 when the hacking group started promoting its ransomware on the dark web. It filled the void left by Tesla Crypto Wall and other major ransomware campaigns. While active, the hackers would often taunt and joke with researchers. They would inject hello messages to specific researchers in its ransomware, and those researchers would discover when analyzing Dean Crab and named their command and control servers after popular security outfits. It's not a laughing matter to the group's victims, however, and the hackers would sometimes be vindictive in their exploits. For example, after OnLab released a mitigation for Grand Crab, the hacking group said it was releasing a zero-day threat for OnLab version 3 Lite antivirus software. That is all supposedly behind them now. The group claims it has invested its earnings in various legitimate businesses, both online and in the real world. So in this particular instance, it would appear that crime does, in fact, pay.
I'm going to go with most instances it pays, at least in the medium term. That's why people commit crimes. It's when you get caught and prosecuted, if you get caught and prosecuted, that it may or may not pay.
But the ransomware writers are retiring. It's that effective. I'm wondering how much of it is a joke and they're just taunting people. I mean, it's hard to say. But, I mean, they legitimately could have made enough money that if they were investing it, that they're set for life and they're just done. I mean, get out before you get caught, right?
Yeah. I was looking here. I'm still going down the rabbit hole for this social sentinel thing. They won a Pulitzer Prize this year for an article they wrote about themselves. It does not sound right to me. You can't win a Pulitzer Prize about writing a story about yourself.
What does a Pulitzer Prize cost these days?
I don't know, but it can't be that much. Dude, if I was a high school kid, man, I'd be fucking burning the place down.
Oh, by the way, for anybody who hasn't figured it out yet, most of these awards and prizes, there's a few exceptions, but most of them go to the highest donations they're paid for. Usually by a company trying to advertise something. Just saying. So when I ask how much does a Pulitzer cost, I'm not kidding.
I'm just saying. That's bullshit.
So...
I didn't know the Pulitzer was one of the ones for sale. I knew a lot of them were.
I think
it is.
The Pulitzer
was
still trying to keep some integrity.
I know Nobel is one of the major ones I know of that's not. But
yeah, Pulitzer, you got a little suspicious when CNN got a Pulitzer for the Trump-Russiagate fucking story.
Oh, they got that because it's what they wanted to hear.
Yeah.
Let's see. How to enter the Pulitzer Prize.
I just totally derailed the show.
No, you're fine.
No, you didn't derail anything.
Let's see. Additional resources, examples. Of course, they're obviously not going to have it there. It would be... The prize board presides. So the way you would figure out what it costs is you would go through their prize board, because they list it on the website, figure out who owns what, and there's going to be some nonprofits in there, and there's going to be some various companies in there. So you might have to do some digging on the people on the prize board, right? And ultimately, it's going to come down to who's
a chair on this charity?
Yeah. And then
$1 million to X charity. Bob got so much of it, and now I've got a Pulitzer Prize.
Yeah, basically. That's how most of them work.
So they have 450,000 keywords in this program that will set off the algorithm.
Words, not phrases?
Yeah, it's just words.
Well, that's why that article was opening up about, you know, somebody said die, somebody said shooting, somebody said...
Yeah.
You know, and it's triggering all these alarms. Now, hopefully their software can be tuned down a little bit, so it has to... I'm hoping it works like spam software, where just it scores it over time based on so many indicators, so that you can say, okay, if it's got a score of 75 or greater, you know, throw an alert. But it sounds like they don't have it tuned very well.
They boast they can build a library of mental health issues of student from grade one right through to finish.
Well, it's,
they're building a mental health profile of people using this program.
Yeah, see, if I did the whole article, are you, we'd be doing this for hours, which is why I just wanted to be aware.
Yeah, see, sorry, you know how I get, man, eh?
Well, especially with that kind of shit, which is why I wanted to wait on you to get back.
It just, yeah, it sent off fucking flags, man.
All right, until you're an adult, a lot of those profiles aren't particularly accurate. All children are sociopaths. Most teenagers are sociopaths. Well, many teenagers are sociopaths. It's not until you've been fully socialized that you're not crazy. Like, babies, they're fucking sociopaths. They have to be. That's how they survive. That and being cute. If they were less cute, I'd kill more of them.
What?
And I'm not trying to get on the FBI list. It's just, that's the truth. The FBI knows it. Some of them have had children.
Yeah. Well.
Thank you, Madman, for turning on the turning off the lights and leaving us all a little bit darker.
Hey, at least we didn't go as dark as we usually go. Okay. Two things first tonight in Digital Dojo. The first is a nice write-up on Medium of how to build an RDP honeypot with a Raspberry Pi 3. So, if you're not aware, RDP is the name of the Microsoft Remote Desktop Protocol. So, when you see people remoting into Windows machines to do, like, server administration, you know, that. And that's also what there have been a lot of security vulnerabilities in lately. So, this write-up is actually pretty good. I skimmed through it earlier, of grabbing a Raspberry Pi 3, setting up Kali Linux on it, and basically building an RDP honeypot so that you can, you know, they even list you using a screenshot of a Windows server to, you know, make it look like a legitimate server that somebody's just left RDP on the internet. And because it happens a lot more often than it should. And, you know, how to extract the passwords and capture the exploit attempts and shit like that that people are throwing at it. And mostly what they're really doing is just setting up a Python script to pretend to be RDP and then using... some packet capturing and analyzing tools that are built into Kali, like Bro, to, you know, pick it apart and get the information out of it. But it's a nice little write-up on building a honeypot. So if you wanted to collect what people were throwing at RDP for research purposes or just to build your own password lists, I ran an SSH honeypot for years. It was the best damn password list you ever saw. It worked great. I've still got that.
You're using
list.
It to make rainbow tables, aren't you?
Yeah, worked wonderfully. Yeah. So, also generated a whole bunch of statistics of passwords you should never use. QWERTY UOP, pretty high in the list. Just saying. The word password let me in and admin 1. Also passwords you should never use.
They're pretty much the first row of my keyboard.
That's right. You figured it out. That's what QWERTY UOP is. And to test your new RDP honeypot, here's a nice little script, for, again in Python, that does password spraying against RDP servers. This is totally for testing your RDP honeypot and not breaking into idiots who've left their servers RDP exposed to the internet, right?
Totally. No one would ever misuse that.
Yeah, it's saying basically you feed it a user list and a password list, the domain and the target IP, and it will sit there and try to authenticate with all the various combinations of usernames, passwords, and all that stuff, because you can just feed it text files of all this stuff, right? So And it'll run and then give you all the output. And they've got some sample here on the GitHub page showing creds failed, creds valid but password expired, creds valid but accounts disabled, and then some valid creds, and then creds valid but accounts. So, you know, it's actually doing a pretty good job of pulling the results of what happens when you throw these passwords at the machines. So, you know, when you want to test your RDP honeypot, here's the script you would use for that. But don't test other people's RDP honeypots, because that would be wrong.
Very bad. Shocking. What would your mother think?
Would your mom be disappointed at you for your activities online? Maybe you should rethink it.
Both hands back on the keyboard, boy.
Have you ever had your hands wrapped across the keyboard, you know, with a ruler for typing the wrong thing? Oh, God, I've actually had family I've had to reprimand for their internet conduct. Fuck.
That's the beauty of not having any social networking, Dad. I don't have to look at what my brothers are doing.
Oh, I think I've told you the story, but I'm not going to recant it on here. So, anyways, that's all I've got. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Obviously, we updated the webpage so that we got IHN, IHN again, or IHN2, whatever we're calling it, has been posted up. It's got a spot now, so you can actually get the archives of it. And I made the modern Pure Decking archives easier to find. It's all basically right there off the page. In the IRC tonight, we have myself, Cycros, DPView, Iron Angel, Madman, Rainer, and Sardonyx, and I believe we had Rats in earlier, but it looks like he's dropped off. So, of course, we do the show live 9 Central-ish, thereabouts, Thursdays. Madman, closing thoughts.
Rainer, it's not the NSA or the FBI. It's the NSA and the FBI, and if you want to really scare yourself on who's watching you online, look up the Five Eyes.
Oh, don't send him down that hole, Madman.
Never going to see him in the IRC again.
Yeah.
He's going to be off living in the mountains with tinfoil wrapped over his head and every wall he can find.
Oh.
All right, are you closing thoughts?
I'm just looking at this Sentinel thing. Yeah, if you're a kid, get off social media right now, because they are monitoring you 24/7. They're not just looking for self-harm or violence. They're snatching kids up who are talking about, you know, a little bit of spray painting on the weekend or smoking a little bit of pot, and it's all going back to them. But yeah.
And that's why you teach your children at a young age. Honey, we have 2 Facebook accounts. This one is what we talk about to our friends, and this is the one that you have your real name on that we build up for your job later on. So... on this one, you discuss your piano recitals. This one, you discuss your cam show times.
And remember, operational security, the one that's got your real name on it is the only one you ever log into at school, and don't mix them up.
That's it.
That's it. Listen to Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site, the subreddit. The subreddit probably is the best way to send feedback, story suggestions, that kind of stuff to me. I believe Madman was setting up an email address. What was it? A Nigger Hunter? No, wait, that was RU's email. I'm sorry.
take my private email.
It was.
I put that on Madman. My resumes.
No, it actually is for IHN. Madman. IHN@gmail.com.
Okay.
And Madman is spelled the way it is in the IRC. MADDMAN.
All right. So he's got a feedback.
Feedback and any weird stories you come across. We like anything involving animals, somebody getting hurt, possibly dying, and
Darwin
things
being
on things on fire or exploding.
Florida man.
So, Wednesday night.
Yes.
Pretty much.
All right. We planning on doing an IHN this weekend?
If everything goes to plan. Would you say that?
Yes. Everything I'm planning to do is in town.
So I
should not be late.
Do I need to call you at like 8 o'clock?
Possibly, because that will give me time to stagger home. No, they're doing something called Porch Fest. The neighborhood next to mine, they're having bands set up on people's front lawns.
That actually sounds pretty awesome.
Local no-name people. Some of them are regional bands that are pretty good. And there's going to be beer trucks and food vendors down this private neighborhood. So I'm going from one end to the other, listening music and getting smashed until my phone rings.
Yeah, we're probably not going to ring you, dude. Just enjoy that.
I'm thinking I might go up there and hang out and enjoy it with them.
I can rig up
a mobile rig so we can do the show smashed out of our minds somewhere in the middle of the alley.
All right. And the show.
Oh, no. Dude, there's a chance for thunderstorms, like a really high one, so I will probably be available.
All right. Well, that's it. I'm gonna start playing sounds now.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Sorry, I'm white. I'm sorry, I'm male. Why? Why am I a monster?
Now go nose down and call it a night.
Shut up, Wesley.